And that was a blessing. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Caleb. Thank you. I do want to just share one thing to Mark tonight. Today, after the service, there's going to be a special meeting with the personal ministries leader and a committee, a small committee, on starting to talk about what can we do to start reaching out more effectively to our neighbors and friends. And we want to start brainstorming and laying out plans and looking at what we have, where we should go from here. And anyone is invited if you want to stay after church and just share with us. We want ideas. We want to move forward. We cannot continue, in my opinion, where we are just waiting for this virus to leave. We got to be able to reach people. Our scripture reading this morning is in Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 14. Revelation 22, verses 12 to 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates, into the city. Let us pray, and if some of you would like to go ahead and kneel, you're welcome to do so as we have prayer. Father God, what a powerful message this text gives. The fact that you're coming soon, I just praise God. And the signs around us look that way, and I'm so glad, Father, that you put this text, this message on Kevin's heart. And I just pray in a special way that you'll bless him. Bless him beyond his expectations. And bless us as a people as we listen to this message that you have in this last book of the scriptures. Bless us. Help us to be convicted in our hearts to move forward and do that which you desire above all. And be with those that couldn't be here, Father. Bless them as they're watching. Bless them as they're preparing for your outpouring of your Spirit in each of our lives. And Father, as we look at the times around us and the things that are going on, let us really sense that your coming is soon. And help us to give and to act according to your will continuously, day after day. We praise you and we thank you now, and we just ask that you'll bless us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. At least part of me thinks it's good to see you. The other part wishes it was empty. But we will get through this. Appreciate, Pastor, just your comments. And, you know, I didn't know that his group was going to be meeting after church to discuss ways to reach out, because I guess if really you look at the message today, that's what this is all about. As you look at Revelation 22, there's a couple of things that come specifically to verse 12. It says, mine says, look, I am coming soon. And then he says, my reward is with me. And then the next couple of verses, he just explains who will be receiving that reward. This morning, that's really what this is about. So I've titled this, Ready or Not, Here I Come. Anybody remember, I know some of us are up there in age and haven't played games in a while, but anybody remember playing hide and seek? Or maybe you played it with your kids or your grandkids or maybe great-grandkids, whatever the case may be. What was it you always say right before you go look? Ready or not, here I come, right? Why? What's the whole idea behind proclaiming? Because, I mean, everybody already knows you're going to count to 10 or whatever the prescribed number was, and then you're going to go search for people, right? So why do you yell then, ready or not, here I come? It's a warning. If you're not hidden yet, you better hurry up. If you haven't closed the dryer door yet, you better close it and hope nobody pushes the button. Voice of experience, I'm just saying. It's not a pleasant experience. So this morning, that's really what I want to talk about. Because I would suggest that Jesus is calling us. That he is standing at heaven's door and he is saying, ready or not, here I come. He's saying, please, 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 will you not be ready? Please, won't you find me now while you still can? Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you just for this beautiful Sabbath, the chance to come to worship you this morning. Father, calm my nerves. Help me speak your words and not mine. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning is not about talking about the signs of the times, because I believe that we can all look at the events that are going on in this world, that we can realize that the condition this world is in, it cannot last too much longer. If it were to last too much longer, there would be nothing left for him to come to. So there's three basic things that I want to talk to you about this morning. And the first one is, do we as a congregation, do we hear him calling? Do we hear what he is calling us to do? And of course, the third thing is then, what is our response to him? And I believe the first question is the easiest one. Do we hear him calling us? I would say that that's the easiest one for each one of us to answer, because I think that the fact that we are here this morning, or we're watching on whatever device or whoever you're listening to, the fact that we have chosen today to worship God, I think answers that question, that yes, we do hear him calling. I think sometimes with the noise around us in this world that it's hard to hear his voice. And I think the Sabbath specifically is a time where we can put the things of this world behind us, that we can shut off the noise, and we can truly open his word to hear his voice and to know that, yes, he is calling us. And my hopes are today that we will be able to look at his word and the words given to specifically to Ellen White about this time in history, and that we can find out really what is going on. The question is, do you feel a tug at your heart? Do you want to do more? And what is it that you can do? after answering the first question, that yeah, we hear God calling. The second, and I guess the natural question is, and what is he calling us to do? What do we specifically as a congregation hear him saying? I know it gets a little more complicated, but if we are listening to him, if we are studying his word, first and foremost, he is calling us to him. He says, come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, if you're burdened, if you're just tired. And I think as we go through this whole COVID thing, you look around and there are people who are just tired. There's misinformation on every side. No one knows what is going on. And I would submit this morning that I don't care. We talked in Sabbath school a little bit about getting so distracted by the minute details that we forget the big picture. This morning, the big picture is none other than Jesus. What has he called us to do? What does he want us as a congregation to do in this time? And again, I think it's interesting then at your meeting this after, right after church, to discuss exactly that. What can we do? You know, to understand this question, I think there's some assumptions that we have to make. The assumption simply for me is, why has God not already come? Why has Jesus not come to take us home? And I guess simply put, we are not ready. Christ's Object Lessons, page 69, Ellen White states it this way. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. Christ is, and here it is, Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come and claim them as his own. It's the privilege of every Christian not only to look for this, to catch the whole idea that he's coming back, but did you hear it? He is waiting for us. That we, did you know that we can hasten his return? Ellen White draws that concept from 2 Peter 3:12. She goes on to say that all who profess his name bearing fruit to his glory, how quickly the world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly, the last great harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather his precious grain. The problem, I believe, is that we have become, as Ellen White warns in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 53, a legal religion. What's a I can't even say that twice in a row. What is a legal religion? One that is absolute, so bent on the rules that they forget about the love. What's the third angel's message? Who does it go out to? Those that keep the commandments. Okay, so there's the rules. But what's the second part of that? have the faith of Jesus. It doesn't say have the faith in Jesus, although we would. It says the faith of Jesus. She states in Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, a legal religion is insufficient to bring the soul into harmony with God. The hard, rigid orthodoxy of the Pharisees, destitute of contrition, tenderness, and love, was only a stumbling block to sinners. They were like the salt that had lost its savor, for their influence had no power to preserve the world from corruption. She goes on to say, the only true faith is that which worketh by love. And that comes from Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcised nor uncircumcised. It has no value. Only thing. The only thing that counts is faith. And this is interesting, and I think this is where we can start to gather what we're supposed to be doing. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And I would ask us this morning, is that the condition that we find our church in today? And before you answer that, I'm talking about, have we become a legal religion destitute of contrition, tenderness, and love? Please don't answer that out loud. I believe that it is. And I say that with all love and respect because I'm part of this congregation. It's my fault as much as it is anyone else's. We have forgot the second part of it, the part that binds it all together. Oh, we get the law. We can quote the law really well. But have we missed the mark in love? If the answer was no, we haven't, we got it, then why are we still here? So what are we called to do? What is it that will not only complete the task that God has called us for, but it'll actually speed it up? That it'll actually speed his return up? And if I were to ask, and you don't have to raise your hand because I know the answer already. If I were to ask the question, are you longing for Jesus to come? Everybody would say yes. But do you really want it? We're studying Acts in our Sabbath school class. And it was 25 or 26, chapter 25 or 26 in there someplace. I don't remember, and I was just there. But anyway, they told Paul, listen, please don't leave. Please stay here because this gentleman has a vision. And the vision was that that Paul would be imprisoned. And Paul said, you're breaking my heart. Please don't try to retain me because God has called me to do this. And all you're doing is you're trying to remove what God has placed in my heart. Please don't do that. And Paul says, it's okay. I don't care if I get chained up. I don't care if I die. Because I run the race that God has set before me. The plain answer is also a very positive answer. And you can find it in Micah 6:6-8. Everybody knows this, I know. He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. So what does it mean to do justly? Well, you can grab your phone and you can Google it and find all the definition, but the definition basically is to do justly is according to what is morally right and fair. To do justly. It's according to what is morally right and fair. How about to love mercy? Compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who is, and this is interesting, who is within one's power to punish or harm. So you're not loving mercy if it's not shown towards someone who, and this is, follow me through with this for a minute, okay? It's not loving mercy if you show compassion and forgiveness to someone who you have no power over to do that with. What that really means to me is it's those who are in need. Those who don't know Christ. Those who are not walking in His way. Those are the people that He's talking about to show love, to love mercy, which is to show compassion and forgiveness towards them. And of course, to walk humbly with God. Prophets and Kings, page 326 and 327. In urging the value of practical godliness, the prophet was only repeating the counsel given Israel centuries before. From age to age, these counsels were repeated by the servants of Jehovah to those who were in danger of falling into the habits of formalism and of forgetting how to show mercy. If you were to ask anyone on the street this morning, what do you know about Seventh-day Adventists? You snicker. Why? Because what they would say is, well, they go to church on Saturday. Well, they don't eat pork. They don't drink alcohol. They don't. Is that what we want to be known for? We don't? Is any of that what Christ has called us to do? He has called us to love mercy, to do justly, to walk humbly with Him. It's not about the don'ts. And although it's true, we don't. Shouldn't we be known as the people who do justly, who love mercy, and who show love with skin on it? Matthew 22:36-40 is a story of a lawyer who approaches Jesus. And he asks him, what's the greatest commandment? And I know you know the story. Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then he says, you know, and the second one is exactly like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then he says something that for a long time I didn't understand. And he says, Jesus says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. What is he saying? What is it to hang all the law on the prophets? Okay, I get the law. He's taken the Ten Commandments. He's breaking it down to the two so that we, some of us are kind of thick-skulled and we can understand that a little easier. I get that part. But what about the prophets? What does it have to do with hanging it all on the prophets? What Jesus is actually doing is he's referring back to the prophets. When God told his people over and over and over again to do three things, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Ellen White goes on in Prophets and Kings and she says, these plain utterances of the prophets and of the Master himself should be received by us. How? As the voice of God to every soul. We should lose no opportunity of performing deeds of mercy, of tender forethought and Christian courtesy for the burden and the oppressed. For who? The burden and the oppressed. It doesn't say that we shouldn't do this for each other as well, because we should, but it is specifically talking about for the burdened and the oppressed. She goes on, she says, if we can do no more, we may speak words of encouragement and hope to those who are unacquainted. Not acquainted, unacquainted with God. We are not called to minister to each other. And I know you got to be careful, because we are support each other as a family. We need to hold each other up. We need to hold each other accountable. And there are times when we all are burdened and oppressed. But the mission of this church is them. It is those who are burdened and oppressed, who are unacquainted with God. She says, it's the absolute least that you can do. The absolute least is to be an encouragement to those around you. Christ's Object Lessons, page 414 and 15. To God's people, and this is talking at the end of time, it will be a night of trial, a night of weeping, a night of persecution for the truth's sake. But out of the night of darkness, God's light will shine. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So in the night of spiritual darkness, God's word goes forth, let there be light. To his people, he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, says the scripture, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Upon you and me. God's glory will be shown through us. The last rays of merciful light the last message of mercy is given to the world is a revelation of his character of love. The children of God are to manifest his glory in their own life, and the character they are revealing, they are to reveal what the grace of God has done for them. Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. This is the work which the prophet Elisha described when he says, it is not to deal, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seekest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thine own flesh, then shall thy light break forth as the morning and shine health, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Isaiah 58, 7 and 8. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? When is the last time that you gave your only meal to someone else? And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When is the last time that we opened our home to the homeless? When thou seekest the naked, that thou cover him. So you take your second jacket with you? It's not what it says. That's not what Isaiah says. He says that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. He says, take off your shirt off of your own back and go around without a shirt if necessary, but clothe those that are naked. He says, then, after you've done these things, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. God, through Isaiah, is saying, if you take care of them, I will take care of you. Thus, in the night of spiritual darkness, God's glory is to shine forth through Valley View Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is to be lifted up. The bowed down and the comfort, and all of those that mourn. As we read through God's Word, it is very clear what He is asking us to do. God is asking us to step out of our comfort zone, to seek the lost. He's talking about the final hours, the final moments of this world's history. And I know there's a lot of things going on. This whole COVID thing seems to have shut down everything, but it's not an excuse that we can use for disobeying God. I got a notification from the conference about something that's going on. It actually, and I didn't know anything about it, is called Compassion Weekend. Anybody ever heard of Compassion Weekend? Neither had I. Compassion Weekend is every second weekend of the month in North America, and a time for us to join and be intentional about tackling the needs of our community, such as hunger, thirst, abuse, slavery, human trafficking, refugee crisis, violence, depression, disease in our world, by showing compassion to the people around us. Wow. That sounds like the Bible. I would encourage each one of you, go home and Google Compassion Weekend. The next one is August 8 and 9. I don't know where these events take place. I can tell you that I hope they start happening here. I don't mean here. I mean here. I'm tired. I don't want to be here anymore. I get to rejob, retire in 2 weeks. It's a rejob. They offered me a severance package. Said, here, take the money and get out type thing. I used to think that when that time happened, that, it's not. Because it's not about the work that we are doing to put bread on our own tables. The reason we are tired is because we have failed in one very simple fashion. We have left God out of the picture. He will renew our strength. We will rise up like eagles. Old men will run and not be weary. But before this happens, we need to come to Him. Wouldn't it be great if the next time you saw somebody in the street, you asked them, what do you know about the Seventh-day Adventists? They say, oh, that's the people that love God and show the world God's love through their actions. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with God. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. In closing, Revelation 22:12. It says, my reward is with me. And we look around and say, well, what is the reward that He would be bringing? And I know I've said this before. Is He bringing one of them white horses for me to ride? No. He comes on a white horse. What does He bring with Him to give to us? Well, you can look at Isaiah 58 and verse 8. And He says exactly what our reward is. He says, the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Let's pray. Dear Father, it's pretty clear why you haven't come. It's because you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us to represent you. Dear Father, help us. Show us. And strengthen us as we truly seek you. Our hearts will be filled with strength. And as Paul said, death is not the end. It is only the beginning. Dear Father, help us to feel in our hearts your heart. A heart for those who are downcast and needy. Dear Father, help this church to know what we can do so that we truly can speed your return, so that you will come quickly and take us home to be with you. We pray in Jesus' name.